Sí. Che, 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 che.
No. 3, test 1, 2, that's good. Okay. Hello, everybody. Shalom. You know, as you've heard me say, that's Jewish for howdy. We're glad you're here with us today, and we're going to have a good time. We're not only are we going to have a good time, we're fulfilling the word of the Lord today. As the Lord says in Deuteronomy 16, he says, three times a year, your men shall go to the place that the Lord chooses, and of course that place would be Jerusalem, but he said it before Jerusalem existed as a city. And he said, they shall go up and celebrate a feast to me. First feast was unleavened bread, or the feast of Passover. Second feast, he said, was the feast of weeks, which is known as, to Christians, as Pentecost, which is today. And Hebrew, it's called Shavuot, which is Hebrew for weeks. And then the third feast is the Feast of Tabernacles in the fall. So there are three pilgrim feasts, and I did a newsletter on it. You can see on my website. Pick up any of our literature. You can go to my website, and you can read them. This is called the Shalosh Regalim, which means the three pilgrim feasts. And I wrote about it like a year ago or so, and you can read it online. You can even make a copy of it if you want. You can study it. But anyway, so God said, all your men shall come and celebrate the feast unto me, and they, each one shall come, and they shall not come empty-handed, that each one shall come and bring the best offering that they have to the Lord, on the feast, okay? And now I've thought about this quite a bit. I figure if the men came from all over the civilized world in those days to Jerusalem, that's, they had to eat, right? Amen? Amen. They had to eat. Now, somebody, if they were going to be busy worshiping, somebody had to cook for them, right? So they brought their wives. And if they brought their wives, then somebody had to watch the kids, right? So that meant that the kids came too. So everybody went to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast. If Papa went, Mama went, Mama went, baby went. Amen? Okay. So we're celebrating that feast, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit later, about how this feast was celebrated in Acts chapter 2, and why all those Pergians, Pamphylians, Cretans, Romans, and people from Cilicia and Asia Minor and so forth, what they were doing there. Why were they there? You know, what brought them there? Jews and non-Jews. And we're going to talk about that. So we're glad you're here with us. We have special guests today. They are new friends, really. We met them once before, and then I had to run off. I didn't even get to fellowship with them, but some other folks here did. And praise the Lord. Hopefully I'll get to fellowship with them some tonight. If you stay with us, after we finish tonight, we're going to help the folks pack up, and then we're going to go to Cracker Barrel. Anybody who wants to join us is welcome to do that. So we invite you to join us. We'll get a big table up there and have a good time. But I want to introduce to you Vince and Deborah Klein Iantorno. Um, They lived in California for a long time, and I never knew them. And I just kept hearing about them and seeing them on in social media. And I think we were friends on social media before we ever met, probably for 2 or 3 years. And they're just a lovely couple, and they are great worship musicians and ministers of the gospel. Amen. And so the Lord put it on my heart. They moved to North Carolina. They almost made it to the promised land, Tennessee. They're pretty close.
Awesome.
Pretty close to Tennessee, but we'll give them a pass. Of course, the Lord put me here in Virginia, so to humble me. So the Lord has a sense of humor. So I'm going to turn it over to them and let them tell you more about themselves, and they're going to minister. Then I'm going to come up and share a word with you, and then we're going to conclude. So let me pray. Let me open with a word. Well, why don't you guys open with a word of prayer, and you tell them about yourselves. How's that sound? All right.
Lord God, we just we give you thanks for this day. We thank you for everything you provide for us. You're always there for us, Lord, and we love you, and we just give you thanks for that. We thank you for this special day. And today we just pray that everything we do here, every word we speak, is a blessing to you. And we just pray that your spirit will just fill this place today, Lord. Everybody will feel your spirit, and their hearts will be touched, Lord, including ours.
And Lord, thank you, Lord.
We just pray that you will just bless this whole service. And bless the rabbi and bless every person here. Yes. We just give you thanks, Father. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen. So, yeah, that I guess those of you who remember us, we came, what was it, in November, right? It was the beginning of November. And, we had really been thinking about this for 3 years, but this Southern hospitality of yours just finally did us in. And went home, we put the house up for sale, and had 3 offers in 2 days. So we had to scramble back in January, to find a place to live. We rented our house back in California, so we've actually become, what did Cammy said? We're Tar Heels now. So
officially,
we are official Tar Heels.
We have Carolina driver's license.
Yeah, and that is weird. We have North Carolina driver's licenses. So, but really, we're loving it. And you guys are awesome. And, we were just like, you know what? We can do this. We can do this. Because, you always get scared when God's moving you. But he showed us and that it would all be okay. You see, somebody can just text you on Monday, and then you're all the way from North Carolina, just take a nice drive, and here you are with your friends and your extended family. So amen. We're just going to take some time to just celebrate and sing out to God. And I'm going to ask you, I don't know if all of you are familiar with Davidic dance, but because I'm going to ask you to get up and dance unto the Lord. Dance unto him. Let's celebrate. Don't make me be up here dancing by myself, because I am a Pentecostal Jew, so I'm just going to, I will dance. I will dance unto the Lord. So we picked this song that was, you all know it. It's Paul Wilbur did it, but it's so appropriate for Shavuot, Pentecost. And so let's just stand and celebrate and sing out to our Father.
Come.
must go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. Let's go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. Let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. For the Lord will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will walk in his footsteps, and he will teach us his way. Woo! Let's go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. Let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. For he will judge many people and decide for mighty nations far and wide.
My eyes to the
It comes from you, Lord. It comes from you, Lord. You're the maker of heaven and earth. It comes from your peace. It comes from your peace. It comes from your hope. It comes from your hope.
It comes from your
promise. Thank you, Lord. It comes from your love.
It comes from your love.
It comes from your love.
It comes from your love. Creator, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for all you give despite what we deserve, Lord. You know, don't you find this so interesting how Israel's celebrating its 70th? Seven, that number, the Lord's number, seven, but the 70th birthday. And what a time. Right, we're celebrating Shavuot, Pentecost. Okay, the Lord first, of course, you know, Jews are celebrating as well. A little different than us because they're celebrating, Shavuot, Feast of Weeks, they're celebrating when God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses on Mount Sinai. Now, here we are as believers, we're celebrating Pentecost, which means 50 in Greek. And it's also celebrated 7 weeks. By the way, Shavuot is 7 weeks after the second day of Passover. And here we are celebrating Pentecost also, which happens 50 days, 7 weeks after the resurrection of the Lord, where this time the Word came as flesh and gave us His Holy Spirit, His Ruach Hallelujah. HaKodesh, and gave us spiritual gifts, gifts that aren't even wrapped in present, you know, in pretty bows. Incredible gifts that He's given us through His Spirit, those of us who seek Him and worship Him. Now, again, remember, 7 weeks, 7 weeks, Shavuot, Pentecost, 50 days, 7 weeks. And I find it interesting this year, on the 70th anniversary of Israel, that the U.S. would put an embassy there. Is that something? So I'm finding this to be quite interesting. And as we sing this next song, let's really sing it, because we're seeing prophecy fulfilled just as, and just pray that this time the Jews, our brothers, my brothers, would come to know their Jewish Messiah, even as he read the scroll of Isaiah. But I would believe that now with this new embassy, that we are celebrating the year of the Lord's favor. What do y'all think? Father, just as you did, Lord, many years ago, as we read about it in Acts, Lord, and you poured your Ruach HaKodesh, your Holy Spirit, upon so many, and so many of my people, Lord. As we sing this song, Lord, it is a prayer. And we pray that that would happen again. And that so many more of my brothers and sisters in Israel and, well, all over the world. But first to the Jew and my brothers and sisters, I so pray that you would pour your spirit upon them again, that it would rain down like a flood, Lord. We just worship you and hear our prayer, Lord, as we sing.
Pour out your spirit, Lord, on your people. Pour out your spirit, Lord, on your people. Let it rain. Your mercy, Lord, on your people. Pour out your mercy, Lord, on your people. Pour out your mercy, Lord, on your people. Let it rain. Abba, let it rain. Pour out your fire, Lord, on your people. Burning desire, Lord, on your people. Pour out your fire, Lord, on your people. Let it rain. Let it rain.
Fire, Lord, on your feet.
know you more, to know you more. I fall upon my face and worship.
Baby.
We're so grateful to you, so grateful that you loved us so much, and I can't get over it, Lord, that you would send your only Son, Yeshua, Jesus, my Messiah. You would send him to redeem us for what we are. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would continue to grow deeper in each and every one of us here, Lord. That you would continue to empty us of ourselves and fill us up of you. So that everything we do, Lord, would honor you. Because we pray, Lord, to be a blessing, to be your light. Thank you, Lord. We love you. Thank you, Abba. Thank you, Yeshua, Jesus, our Messiah. You know, my daughter, who I shared about with you last time, came up to me because, you know, earlier what I had told you about Shavuot, Pentecost, and how, you know, God just had me just have this vision of Jews celebrating Shavuot because the Torah, the Ten Commandments, were given to Moses on Mount Sinai, and then he would take that same day, Pentecost, also 750, like I said, and would bring the living word, which is Yeshua, our Messiah. And my daughter read, I shared it on Facebook last night, and my daughter came up to us and said, as she said, Mom, Dad, I don't know, I just love watching you guys like this. And I'm like, what do you mean? She says, well, I remember growing up when you guys didn't even really believe there was a God, which I didn't. And she said, and to see you the way you are, and she said, and let me tell you, you're so different. She says, and not just the way you are with me and with the children and how much patient you are. And let me tell you, with a three-year-old in your house, after you were living alone for a while, you really need the patience of a saint. There is a reason why the Lord said, you know what? At around 50, I'm cutting the plug. You're not going to have any more. That's because we can't handle it. But I am enjoying him.
What about Sarah?
She's a miracle. Even she laughed about it, okay? So the thing is that she said, but Mom, I just noticed just in everything you do, well, with the exception if somebody cuts in front of Vince. She said, I see how patient you guys are.
Put my business in the streets. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Just joking, honey. That you're Sarah payback. But
see, I'll get over that.
It's so fun to be in ministry together. It really is. But any which way, for her to say that to me last night was such an encouragement. When your kid looks at you and says, "Wow, you're different," and that's one of the reasons, Mom, I want what you have. I want to know the Lord more and more and more. I mean, those are rewards on earth, okay? We know we're getting rewards in heaven, but it's so nice when you get those rewards on earth too, when your kids are wanting to seek God, and when you know you are following what the Lord says, even though I wasn't always a believer, I am now. And so we can teach it diligently to our children. Now, I guess many of you already know my background. I'm German, Jew, Ashkenazi, on my father's side. He married a feisty Puerto Rican Jew. So people ask me, are you Ashkenazi or Sephardic? And I'm like, I'm both. I'm literally both.
So did we tell you last time we were here what our mother called her as she was growing up?
Do y'all remember?
No. Just in case.
My mother, she did. She called me Jew. And you know, Deborah is a pretty nice name. I think it's a nice name. But she still called me Jew. She did. She had a big Puerto Rican accent. She said, Jew, sit down. Jew, shut up right now. I tell you this. Jew better listen. So she called me Jew forever. But, you know, you guys are all going to have Ted Pierce here real soon. I met Ted because, as most nice Jewish girls, I gave my heart to the Lord in a Pentecostal church. Probably explain a little bit about me, huh? And any which way, this messianic cowboy dude, I didn't even know what a messianic was, but he came and he came to minister after I was ministering, and because I was the worship leader of a very, very large church. And this was, so he sat through this three services and he was going to minister on the last service. And he finally came up to me and he says, wow, you're Jewish, right? I'm like, yeah. He said, we need you. So I said, well, who is we and what are you? And, you know, and he says, well, I'm a messianic. And I said, what's that? He said, well, we worship Yeshua. And I was like, Gesundheit, because I never heard what Yeshua was. And he told me that was the Lord's name in Hebrew and that it had meant salvation. And, you know, things started clicking in my brain. I'm like, wow, his name really has a meaning. It has a meaning because God saves. And so any which way, needless to say, here I am. And so with...
It's a longer story than that, but
yeah. But this Jew and Gentile here.
I don't have enough time today.
This so. Jew and non-Jew together, we have had the awesome privilege, and it is an awesome privilege to visit Messianic congregations and churches throughout ministering the Word of God, mainly, you know, in song, but. That being said, now that you know my background, there was one thing that Ted Pierce said to me. He said, don't change for anyone. And he said, just be yourself. So I thought about it. I'm like, okay. Well, God said, well, you're going to be yourself. I'm going to give you a song. It's Messianic Salsa. That's what Puerto Rican Jews do. So let's get up and dance and praise our Lord in salsa style.
Dancing in the streets, dancing at his feet, dancing in the streets of gold. We'll be dancing in the streets, dancing at his feet, dancing in the new Jerusalem. And we will sing Kadosh Kadosh to the Lord of hosts, joining in the angels' choir.
Us Messianics and believers, we come in all shapes and sizes, and I believe, and I love all kinds of music, so we're going to do some Southern gospel for you. We got permission from Miss Dottie People to record this song. And I'm going to tell you a story, because it talks about our Jewish brothers and sisters and our Lord.
He's an all-time God. Oh, yes, he is. Oh, long time God, oh yes he is. Joseph, he may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. I tell you, he's an on time God. the children of Israel, trapped at the Red Sea. By that mean old Pharaoh and his army, well, they had water all around them, and old Pharaoh at their back. And in the way, God stepped in and cut a highway just like that. Tell me he's an all-time God. Will you see it? You can ask Mary and Martha, and brother Lazarus was sick in bed, and they said, Yeshua, please come heal him. But he waited till he was dead, and they said, Lord, I don't understand why you waited till now to come. Yeshua said, Lazarus is not far than death, let him go. He came a walking to let me tell you, he's a long time God. Oh, you see it?
Worship you, even with bagpipes, Lord. We worship you with everything. Thank you.
Yeshua, Jesus, our Messiah, the name above all names. Speak the name that has no fear. Speak the name that draws us near. Speak the name to be revered and treasured. Speak the name that saves the soul. Speak the name that makes you whole. Speak the name that holds the worlds together. Yeshua, no other name that I hold above all others. Yeshua, you speak the name that is our peace.
Speak the name that is our peace. Even for a dying thief on a cross to know he'd be remembered. Speak the name that holds the power. Even in that final hour, heaven waits for those who will surrender. Yeshua, no other name that I hold above all others. Yeshua, you are the same yesterday, Savior, Redeemer, the Lord of Lords.
have time to do one more song, don't we? Okay. I want to see everyone get up. So we're going to skip the next one and go to the one after. Okay?
You want to tell me what the one that is so I can play? Okay.
See, this is what I love. Just follow the Holy Spirit. He said, skip that one. Okay, Lord, I'm skipping it. Okay.
Now arise, O Lord, to your resting place with all your power and might. As we stand here clothed in your righteousness, we will sing and dance for joy. For you have chosen Zion as a place for you to dwell.
We will run to the mountain of God. We will sound the alarm, salvation has come. We will dance, we will praise, we will worship the name. And all will bow before the glory of God.
The glory of God.
Swore an oath unto Abraham, your covenant that stands on your throne in Jerusalem. You provided the land, for you have chosen Zion to make your glory known.
To the mountain of God, we will sound the alarm. Salvation has come. We will dance, we will praise, we will worship the name. And all will bow before the glory of God.
Oh, do I don't like it all.
Your love
endures forever.
Your love
endures forever.
Your love endures forever.
Oh, do
you
love the night? Oh,
do
you
love the night?
Oh,
do you love the night?
Oh, do you love the night?
Oh, do you love the night?
Oh, do you love the night?
Worship the name, and all will bow before the Lord. We will run to the mountain of God. We will sound the alarm, salvation has come. We will dance, we will praise, we will worship the name. And all will bow before the Lord. All will bow before the Lord. All will bow before the glory of God.
Beviat HaMashiach, ani ma'amin.
Ani ma'amin, be'emuna shelema. Beviat HaMashiach, ani ma'amin. Mashiach, ay, 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 ay. Ani ma'amin,
Yeshua, Yeshua. Ay, 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 ay. Yeshua, Yeshua, Yeshua.
Everybody sing along.
Come on up, Rabbi Joe.
It's not that hard to follow.
Oh, man. I haven't had this much fun. As a matter of fact, I haven't had this much exercise since I moved to the South.
And that's really good for those, what do they call those? Cheddar bows.
Cheddar bows and Bojangles. Oh, man, where have they been all my life? We don't have those in California.
Well, you need some. If it'll help them lighten up out there. They need sweet tea. I think it's what California needs. California needs sweet tea. How many of you agree with that? Can I get an amen? Amen. California needs a little sweet tea. A little more and something else in it, but praise the Lord, the Holy Ghost, right? Amen, amen. Well, before I, that's a tough act to follow. I don't know what I can do, but I want to just welcome our we did this today. It's a community service, but we have special guests from New Life Baptist Church with us. Pastor Bill Christian, would you please stand up? And Pastor Coy Webb is with us. And any other pastors from the church? Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for bringing some of your folks and all the folks from New Life. We're glad you're here. Are you having fun? Yeah. Amen. Good. Good. I'm glad you came. And Deborah and Vince, that was wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Yeah. Amen. So I'm going to share a word from the Lord about the day of Pentecost. I'm going to start in Acts chapter 2. But I'd like to take, before we finish, I just want to say, you know, when Paul took up the Macedonian offering, and he talks about it in several places. He talks about it in Romans chapter 15. He was coming back to Jerusalem from Achaia and from Macedonia. He was coming back with the offering of the Macedonian offering that's so famous that every pastor wants to get it. But he's specifically taking it back to the poor saints of Jerusalem. And do you know when he was taking it back? Guess what day? Today. He was taking it back today, following the commandment that Yeshua said at the end of the book of Luke. He said, stay in the city. I think it's in Luke 24. He said, stay in the city until you be endued with power. So you be clothed with power. He told his disciples to stay in Jerusalem. Don't leave. Stay until you be endued with power, until you be clothed with power from on high. Because he knew that all those 1,400 or so Pentecost Shavuots, as we call them in Hebrew, that, you know, before that happened from the time of Moses to the time of Acts chapter 2, that 1 year, everybody say that year. Something special, say, was going to happen. And nobody knew. Who knew? The Lord knew. The Lord was the only one who knew. He said, stay in the city until you be endued with power. And I don't see in the whole Old Testament, except in Deborah talked. You meant talk a little bit about it, didn't you, at the beginning? That the law was given on this holiday, the Torah, and in Acts, in Exodus chapter 19, the Torah was given, and then Moses came down the mountain at the time of this holiday, the giving of the Torah and of the Ten Commandments. He came down, and the children of Israel had built a golden calf, and he smashed the tablets, and 3,000 died on that day. But in the new covenant, 3,000 were added. That's the day that the Holy Spirit was given. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. So the letter kills, the message there is that the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And so we Messianic Jews, Messianic Judaism, and Messianic Judaism includes people who are not necessarily of Jewish descent. You don't have to be Jewish, even though Deborah's mother called her a Jew. Jew do this, and Jew do that, and Jew come here, and Jew clean your room. I can think of 1,000, but Jew take out the trash. You don't have to be Jewish to be Messianic. Okay, that's first and foremost. So we're going to see that when we read here. But before I begin and get into this, I want to take a love offering. This service is, I guess, is in my heart, bringing Deborah and Vince up from the Charlotte area to minister to you is my gift and God's gift to you all. Really, it's a gift for this day. It's a gift, you know, that I feel like God's put it on my heart to say, you know, He had me bring them up on this day as a gift to you. It's not to build, you know, to bring an offering for this ministry, but I do want to bless them because they drove and they gave of their time. And their gas and spent time setting up, and they're going to have to drive back to Charlotte. And so we want to bless them with an offering. And there is a table in the back before you leave. If you'd like to get some of their music, they have CDs, and they're not Australian prices, in case you were worried. They're American prices, which is better than Australian prices. And so you can get their CDs. And they'll tell you whichever ones, you know, they'll recommend to you the best ones to get, I'm sure. And but before we do that, I'd like to just take an offering before I go into the Word. And so let me just pray for this. And you can make your what's the name of your ministry? Shir Chadash. Yes.
So it can be either Shir Chadash or Deborah Klein.
It Deborah Klein. Yeah, if you can't spell Shir Chadash. You can spell it. If you can spell Shir Chadash Ministries, you can.
It means a new song, by the way.
It means a new song. You can write a check to Shir Chadash.
Klein, K-L-I-N-E.
Or Deborah Klein. If you just want to make it out to Deborah Klein, the bank will accept the check. So if you're making a check or if you're doing a credit card and you'd like to give an offering for them, please, let's bless them. And amen. And so I'm going to pray over the offering, and if you want to sing something, we could play something. You don't have to. If you want to do How Great I Am, I mean, How Great Thou Are. But Wendell was going to sing that today. He was going to sing How Great I Am. Not me, him, how great he is, you know. We were joking yesterday. He was going to sing How Great I Am. But anyway, let's pray. Heavenly Father, as they prepare, we just thank you for this joyful service and time of ministry. Thank you for Deborah and Vince, Lord, and we just ask that you bless this offering and bless their ministry to Israel, Lord. I pray that you would use, they have a ministry of bringing aid and comfort to people in Israel, and that you would bless their ministry, Shir Chadash Ministries, and just put it on our hearts what you'd have us to give today. In the name of Yeshua, in the name of Jesus, our Messiah, Lord, we ask your blessing, and thank you that you enable us to bring such wonderful, gifted folks like them to come and minister to us. In Yeshua's name I pray, amen. Amen. If you want to bring your offering, you just put it in the big box there.
My God, how great
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness, for your Holy Spirit, which helps us to love one another, to forgive, helps us, Lord, to hear your voice, to direct us. Your Spirit heals us, Lord. You touch us. You bring healing. You bind up the brokenhearted. You heal the wounded and the lame. And we just love you, Lord, because of all that you do. And you bless us. And you provide for us for every need. You provide abundantly, exceeding abundantly above all that we could hope, think, or ask. And we just give you the praise, for you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we're grateful to know you, Yeshua, Jesus. Hallelujah. How blessed we are among men, among people, to know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thank you, God. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, please turn with me into Acts chapter 2. As I said before, this day, this is the day of Shavuot. And where do we get the name Shavuot? Well, it actually goes back to Leviticus. And in Leviticus, you don't have to go there, I'll just kind of tell you. But in Leviticus chapter 23:15, it says, you shall count 7 weeks from 7 Sabbaths, or seven Shavuot, 7 periods of seven. Actually, a Shavua, everybody say Shavua, is a period of seven. Now, Shavuot means periods, multiplied periods of seven, okay? So it can be, it doesn't necessarily mean Sabbaths. However, if you go back to that Sabbath when the Lord was in the tomb, and after the Sabbath, it says in Matthew 28, on the morrow after the Sabbath, Mary and somebody else came to the tomb, and the stone had been rolled away, and then there was this angel appeared to them and said, who are you looking for? And they said, our Lord. And then he said, well, this Jesus is, he is not here. He's risen. See the tomb where he lay. He's not here. Amen. He's risen from the dead. He rose from the dead on that morrow after the Sabbath. Now that, in the Bible, in the Jewish Bible, the day begins at night. So he could have risen any time after sundown Saturday night, because in the Bible, you all remember in Genesis, it says it was evening and it was morning the first day. It was evening and it was morning the second day. It was evening and it was morning the third day, so on and so forth, right? So the day begins at sundown. So at sundown tonight today's sun is Yom. So the Jews, the Israelis count, they don't name the days Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. They name the days by numbers. So today is Yom Echad, day one. Tomorrow is Yom Sheni, day two. Tuesday is Yom Shlishi, day three. Wednesday is Yom Rivi, day four. Thursday is Yom Chamishi, day five. Friday is Yom Shishi, day six. And Saturday is Shabbat, Sabbath. It's very simple. If you just know if you know a little Hebrew, it makes it a little easier to know what the day is. So going back to Leviticus, it says count seven Shavuot, 7 weeks, or 7 Sabbaths to the morrow after the seventh Sabbath. Well, that gives it away that it's telling us to count 7 Sabbaths. So that somehow from that first Sabbath of Passover, we're to count 7 Sabbaths to the morrow after the seventh Sabbath. How do we know that? Because you can't count Tuesday to Tuesday and have a Sabbath. You can't count Wednesday to Wednesday and seven times and have a Sabbath on Thursday. There's only one Sabbath a week. Right? It says on the morrow after the Sabbath, that's when you have this feast. So it's always on a Sunday. Are you following me? Okay, I'm trying to make it as clear as I can. But anyway, so Jews call it the Feast of Shavuot, weeks, 7 weeks. Gentiles, Christians, call it Pentecost, which comes from, forgive me if my Greek isn't right, Pastor, Pentecoste, which means 50th, as in 50 days. And so the Christians called it Pentecost based on the 50 days, 7 Sabbaths plus a day. Today is the 50th day, the morrow after the Sabbath. And then the Jews call it weeks, same holiday. It's the only holiday that Christians and Jews have in common. It is. And sadly, Jews have lost, the Jewish people have lost a sense of the meaning of this holiday. And they really, even though it's one of the most important holidays in the Bible, in the New Testament, really, Jews, many Jews and many synagogues, they've lost the sense of understanding. They don't understand what it's about. They don't go to the synagogue. They don't celebrate it. They do very little to acknowledge this holiday because they don't get it. Because if you don't get Jesus, how are you going to get the Holy Spirit? Right? If you don't get Yeshua, if you don't get Jesus, how are you going to comprehend the pouring out, the giving of the Holy Spirit? So maybe in the synagogues they celebrate the giving of the law, of the Torah, you know, maybe. And there are some ceremonies which I'm not going to do. I've been teaching. You can go online to our website, www.forzionsake.org, www.forzionsake.org. And you can look at archive videos. I've been teaching not last 3 weeks I've been teaching on this feast. So you can, if you want to learn about this feast, I've been teaching the inner workings, the infrastructure of the feast. So there's a lot to learn about it. But I'm not going to do ceremony today. We're not talking ceremony, okay? Now let's look in Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now, I just want to stop there for a second, and I want to say, I used to stress out about this holiday because I expected, you know, I would fast and I would pray and I would expect God to repeat Acts chapter 2 for years. Like when I was in my 30s and I'm getting going to show my age. When I was in my 30s and 40s, I used to stress about this holiday because I felt if God didn't do something incredibly powerful and amazing and miraculous, that I wasn't holy enough. But let me tell you a little story. This might ease your mind about grace and God's love and his grace for you, okay? I've baptized more people in the Jordan River than I have in a swimming pool or a baptismal or a lake here in the United States, okay? I've baptized, Coy's been with me in Israel baptizing. We had an Englishman come and join us that day. Every time I've baptized in Israel, I've had people come, pilgrims come and say, would you baptize me too? From all over the world. They've come and asked me and said, would you baptize me? And I'm sure that happens a lot to pastors over there in Israel, you know, and rabbis in Israel. So I've baptized more people in the Jordan River. I've led about 6 or 7 trips there and baptized a whole bunch of people. But anyway, I used to get really nervous about baptizing in the Jordan River. I used to pray and fast the day before. I'd get all, you know, oh, I'm baptizing people in the Jordan River. I got to get myself holy. Amen? So I'd pray and I'd fast and I'd get all worked up and nervous and anxious. And I'd, you know, probably messed up 30 people's baptisms because I was all tense and worried I was going to mess it up. And finally, you know, God said to me, Joe, is baptism a prayer or is it an act? Did the Lord say pray about getting baptized or did he just say do it? What did he say? Do it. He didn't say pray about it. He didn't say fast about it. He didn't say stress about it. He just said, take them down, dunk them. Take them down to the river and dunk them. So I stopped worrying about it one day, and I went down to the river. I took the people, and I was happy as a lark, and started dunking the people. And I was in a good mood. They were in a good mood. And everybody was happy. Amen? And I realized it wasn't a prayer. It wasn't about how holy I am. And it's the same thing with this holiday. God just says, do it. He says, show up. 90% of being a believer is showing up, gang. 90% is showing up. The other 10% do the work. Oh, man. I 90% is showing up, okay? And seriously, that's it. Just show up. You never know what God's going to do. Just show up. And so I don't stress about it. My wife went away. She had to go to Cleveland for work. She's going to be flying jets. And she had to go to Cleveland today and for a meeting. She's starting a job next week as a pilot for a regional airline owned by United Airlines. And she'll be flying Embraer 145 Airlines, so please keep her in your prayers. I don't know if you know that. My wife was a jet pilot before she served in ministry with me for 22 years, and now she's gone back to the airlines. So she'll still be here when the Lord lets her come, but she's my hero. And so she's gone off to sign up and do all her preliminary work so she can start training next week. So I fed the kids pancakes today. I went to the gym. I prayed. I worshiped. And here I am. And I'm not stressed. Having a good time. Okay. So let's go here to Acts chapter 2. If God does something miraculous, praise God. If he doesn't, we did what he asked us to do. We showed up. And he'll bless you for that. It says in verse 5, now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the crowd came together and were bewildered because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. They were amazed and astonished, saying, why are not all these who are speaking Galileans? Now, I got to tell you something about Galileans. Galileans in the Bible are the equivalent of what the people in Alexandria and Falls Church, Virginia, and places around Washington, D.C. think about folks down in Abingdon and Bristol and what's that town? Grundy and name some towns around here. Where? Those people. Yeah, they think we're all a bunch of hillbilly coal mining, you know, rednecks with shotguns and Bible thumpers. You know, we're you know, they don't think people up there. They don't think much of us down here. Okay, would y'all give me an amen for that? Amen. Unless they come from here, they don't think too highly of us down here, or they don't, if they're even thinking of us at all. And so Galilee was that kind of place. If you came from Jerusalem, where this was, and you hear these men speaking in foreign tongues, foreign languages, and they're Galileans, which meant they're, today they call them, there's a city in Galilee called Tiberias. Everybody said Tiberias. That's the big city named after Tiberius Caesar when he took it over in 135. And so Tiberius is named for a Roman emperor. And so it's in Galilee. So if you were a Galilean, you were considered a hillbilly. You were considered a redneck. You were considered unlearned. In fact, most of these guys, it says in the Bible, they were unlearned. The apostles were unlearned except for Paul and Luke, later on, who was a doctor. The rest of them were unlearned. They were not trained in the like Paul. They were not trained in the school of Gamaliel or Hillel. They were not trained rabbis and scholars. So They were made fun of. So this is making fun of the Galileans. Verse 7. They were amazed and astonished, saying, why are not all these who are speaking Galileans? Like, you know, today they call them Tiberianis, which, as I said, Tiberius. They refer to them as Tiberianis. And they're, you know, it's an insult. I mean, it's meant as an insult. All right, verse 8. And how is it that we each hear them in our own language to which we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia. Mesopotamia, isn't that like, that's where Abraham came from in Babylon, Babylonia, that whole area there is Mesopotamia. And so Elamites, which are Persians, which 1,000 miles east of Jerusalem, of Israel, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Pergia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the districts of Libya in Africa, around Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, that's across the pond in Italy, both Jews and proselytes. Everybody say proselytes. Jews and non-Jews. People who were seeking the God of Israel, worshiping the God of Israel, just like you do. Don't you worship the God of Israel? Amen. Amen? And they came to the big house, to the house of a Jew, right? The Lord's house, his temple at Jerusalem. Amen? Jerusalem, the city of our God, Matthew 5:34. And so it says, goes on, and it says, 11, verse 11, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them in our own tongue speaking of the mighty deeds of God. And they all continued in amazement and perplexity, great perplexity, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others, of course, were mocking and saying they're full of sweet wine. And then Peter got up on the southern steps of the temple, which our group, we went to the southern steps, Coy, and I don't think Miss Aja, you didn't go. You and I stayed in the museum that day with Miss Dawn. But the rest of the group went to the southern steps. Neil Armstrong went to those same southern steps where St. Peter preached. And Neil Armstrong said something to this effect to his guide. When his guide told him that Jesus had walked on those steps, he said, it is a greater honor for me to stand in the foot where my Savior stood. It is a greater honor for me. It means more to me than being the first person to stand on the moon. That's what he said. I'm paraphrasing him, but you can look that up. Neil Armstrong's words in Jerusalem. And that's what, when his tour guide told him that his Savior had walked on those steps, and you can walk on those steps, and we're going to plan a trip for next spring. Maybe some of you will join us. And we'll go to, Lord willing, if everybody's all right, we'll go to Israel. So what were all those people doing in Jerusalem? Did you ever think about that? What were all those... I'm going to read it. What were all those Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, which is Babylonia, and you know, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Pergia, Pamphylia, Egypt, the districts of Libya down in Africa, Cyrene, and visitors from Rome up in Italy, and Jews and proselytes, Gentiles, Cretans and Arabs. What were they all doing at the temple in Jerusalem? What were they doing there on that day? They didn't hear Jesus say, stay in the city until you be endued with power. Only 120 of them heard that one, right? Only 120 in the upper room heard him say that. What were all the other ones doing there? That's right. Deuteronomy, turn to Deuteronomy 16:16. You can hold your place there in Acts. And now let's go to Deuteronomy 16:16. And this has to do with the return of building of the embassy to Jerusalem. This has to do with what President Donald Trump did last week on Monday by putting the U.S. embassy in Jerusalem. There's a relationship here. It says three times a year, verse 16, in all your mail shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, which became Jerusalem, at the feast of unleavened bread and at the feast of weeks and at the feast of booths, because David built the temple. Remember, David got it in his heart. If you read in 2 Samuel, David got it in his heart to build a temple for the Lord. And Nathan said to David, do all that's in your heart that God's told you to do. Do what's in your heart. And God said to David, you shall not build a temple for me because you have spilt too much blood, but your son will build this house for me. But David gave the resources to his son to build the house of the Lord, and 4 years later he did. It took him 4 years, but 4 years later of preparation, of getting architects and designers and builders and stonemasons and so forth, and getting the resources together and sending wood from Hiram up there in the king of Tyre up there in what was today is Lebanon, sent down cedars of Lebanon and so forth, gathering the materials. It took 4 years for them to build that temple. Amen? Okay. So here in Deuteronomy 16, 3 years, three times in a year all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, at the Feast of Booths, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able according to the blessing of the Lord your God which he has given you. Okay? So, when Paul brought the Macedonian offering, he was following this commandment. When Jesus told his disciples to stay in the city till you be endued with power, he was keeping this commandment. When Jesus went to Jerusalem to celebrate every festival, he walked 75 to 85 miles from Galilee every time, even in the winter, John 10:22, to celebrate the Feast of Dedication. He was going, he was following, I guess God was telling him to go. You know, Hanukkah is not in the Old Testament. It's not even a commanded feast, but he went to celebrate Hanukkah, and if it was good enough for Yeshua, he put his signet, his stamp on it, by celebrating Hanukkah in John 10:22, that says to me he took his signet ring and he stuck it in the red wax and he sealed it and made it kosher. Amen? He made Hanukkah a real holiday. Praise God. Praise God. All right. So what were they doing there? Those Cretans, Arabs, Libyans, Romans, Asians, proselytes, Jews, whatever, Pamphylians, they were there in Jerusalem because they read what I just read you. Be there, go to the place that God chooses. Of course, King David later on, you know, had his son build a temple there, and David built his house there in the city of David. Amen? Bible mentions Jerusalem over 800 times. It tells us, we sang a song at the beginning here from Isaiah chapter 2. Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. Come, let us go. And the law will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And the mountain of the Lord will be raised above all the other hills. Amen? And the nations will stream to it. All nations will stream to the mountain of the Lord, to Jerusalem, which, again, as I said before, the city of our God. Psalm 48, 1 and 8. Matthew 5, 34. The city of our God. Zechariah 8, 3 says, I am zealous over Zion. I will dwell in Jerusalem, says the Lord. I am zealous over Zion. I will dwell in Jerusalem. Zechariah 14 says, the Lord will set foot on the Mount of Olives when he returns, when the invading armies, all the nations attack Jerusalem. In Zechariah 12, all the nations of the earth attack Jerusalem, and the Lord comes down and sets foot on the Mount of Olives in East Jerusalem. Why is that important? Because the world, the French, the UN, the European Union, the British, they all believe that East Jerusalem should be given back to the Palestinians because the Palestinians occupied it until 1967 when the Israelis kicked their butts and they dropped their pants and ran like cowards. They ran like rats from the Israelis in 1967. And oh, I called them rats. I'm sorry. Nancy Pelosi wouldn't be happy with me. that's an animal. Forgive me. They ran like rats. I didn't say they were rats. They were people. They were people, not rats. I said they ran like rats. Okay. Anyway, they ran. And where did they run to? They ran to Jordan. And you know what the Jordanians did with them? Do you think they welcomed them? And now I come to you with open arms, hoping you'll receive me. No, they put them in refugee camps. They treated them like dirt. And they're still in refugee camps today, a lot of them. And they've been in refugee camps for 45 years, 50 years, 51 years. I know because I was born in 66. Anyway, so Israel took back East Jerusalem in 1967 and unified the two. Jerusalem became unified, and to me, that was the time Jesus said in Luke 21, he said, Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And to me, when the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled is when Jerusalem is put back completely in Jewish hands. And that happened in 1967. So what does that mean, times of the Gentiles are fulfilled? You know, with all due respect to your pastor, who's a great friend of mine and a great guy, most Christian churches don't teach sermons about the times of the Gentiles ending. Am I right, Pastor Bill? I'm darn right about that. They don't teach, you don't probably never heard a sermon on the times of the Gentiles coming to an end. And I'm going to tell you, I believe it was 1967. Now, in order for the times of the Gentiles to start, and I think Pentecost is a good Acts chapter 2 is a good starting point for the times of the Gentiles. I'll go with that. A lot of people say it's the birth of, a lot of Christians like to call it the birth of the church. It's not documented as such, but after Pentecost, a lot of people went out and preached to the Gentiles. So if they want to say, if Christians want to claim that, I'll say that's the time of the Gentiles. Started there at Pentecost. Amen? Amen? All right. But if the time of the Gentiles began at Pentecost, then whose time was it before? Jews. It's the time of the Jews. But if the times of the Gentiles are going to end, and let me tell you, the temple was destroyed in 70 AD. Pentecost that we read here was about 32, 33 AD, right? Give or take. Probably about 33 AD, right? And the temple was destroyed 37 years later. Everybody say 37 years. 37. So temple Judaism, sacrificial, priestly temple Judaism as we knew it in the Old Testament went on for 37 years after the time of the Gentiles started. Even though the gospel was spreading wild, like wildfire around the world, and Gentiles were getting saved, Jews were getting saved, Jewish preachers were going around like Paul and Peter and Thomas and Philip and Nathaniel and so forth were going around the world, and Matthew, they're going around preaching the gospel to Gentiles and to Jews, right? But the time of the Gentiles had begun. And Paul, at one point in time, he walked into a synagogue and they beat his brains in, and he stomped his feet, shook the dust off after they beat him up, and he said, I've had enough of this, I'm going to the Gentiles. Paul had to get his head knocked in about 20 times before he figured out the time change. It's for real. He really did. He wasn't the brightest bulb either. Thank God. Isn't it good to know those guys were human like us? And I can say that because I'm probably a lot bigger than he is, so when I meet him. Just kidding. I wouldn't lay hands on the Apostle Paul. Don't worry. And folks watching online. Anyway, the times of the Gentiles began. Let's say they began at Shavuot at Pentecost, But temple Judaism and sacrificial system went on for another 37 years. Well, what if the times of the Gentiles ended in 1967 when Jerusalem was given back to the Jewish people, and church, you've been seeing the church get more liberal, you've been seeing declining numbers in churches, denominational churches, even the Southern Baptists have gone from, I went to a missions conference about 8 years ago, and an expert came from Atlanta to teach us about, he was a missions expert, and he said, he had a big video presentation, it was at Tri-Cities Baptist, and I was invited as a Jewish representative, and he showed a flat line. He said, growth in the Southern Baptist Convention is flatlining in the hospital. Any nurses here? Doctors? What happens when you see a flat line? Code blue, right? Code blue? Amen. Dead. But you know what? From what I've heard is that line is not flat anymore. Now it's going down. It's going down. People are leaving the churches. They're leaving the churches. But this is because, and I'm going to tell you why, the times have changed. The times have changed. As there's a famous Messianic Jew. He wrote a song called "The Times They Are Changing." He wrote it right about that time, right around 1967. His name was Robert Zimmerman. You might know him better as Bob Dylan. He's a famous Messianic Jew who got saved back in late 70s, and did an album called three Christian albums, and he still waddles around with his faith like most rock stars who get saved. They kind of go up and down with their faith. But anyway, if the times changed, if the times of the Gentiles ended, does that mean that God doesn't love Gentiles? No. If the times of the Jews ended and the times of the Gentiles started at Pentecost and God sent Jewish apostles to go out and preach in Acts chapter 15, and Paul was out preaching to the Gentiles, right? And then he had to go back and explain to the Jewish apostles what he was doing among the Gentiles and how God was doing such a great work among the Gentiles. Peter went to Cornelius and Caesarea. He had the vision of the sheet coming down with the unclean animals on the roof of the house. And then, you know, Cornelius' men showed up and took him 40 miles up the beach to Caesarea. And a Jewish guy named Peter, or Kepha, preached to these Gentiles. Did God not love Jews? No, he loved them. But it was the time of the Gentiles. There's a time and a purpose. A time for every purpose under heaven. Amen? There is a season. How's it go? Somebody do. Ecclesiastes 3. I love that. You guys sing that song? Do everything, turn. That's a great guitar tune. I couldn't play it. I don't know how they do it. If you could show me, I'd like to know. Anyway, you know what I'm getting? You get my drift. There is a time to every purpose under heaven. And now is the time where Donald Trump moving the embassy of the United States of America back to Jerusalem is one of God's stamps saying he's turning back to Israel. The most powerful kingdom in the world, the most powerful man in the world, has said Jerusalem is the eternal capital of the Jewish people. Praise God. But I want to encourage you. Turn, this will be probably my last scripture. Turn to Hebrews 8. What we're doing today is what God wants us to do. What we're doing today is what God wants us to do. Hebrews 8 says, now the main point in what has been said is this. We have such a high priest who has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of majesty in the heavens, a minister in the sanctuary and in the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched, not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices, so it is necessary that this high priest also have something to offer. Now, if he were on earth, he would not be a priest at all, since there are those who offer the gifts according to the law. See, this was written before the temple was destroyed. Who serve a copy and a shadow of the heavenly things, just as Moses was warned by God, even when he was about to erect the tabernacle, he said, "For see," he says, "that you make all things according to the pattern which was shown you on the mountain." Brothers and sisters, God's pattern is that Jew and Gentile come together, that Jew and non-Jew come into the house of a Jew. That's the pattern. That Jew and non-Jew come to the house of a Jew where a Jewish priest teaches on the things of God. Amen. That's the pattern that God gave Moses, and the Gentiles showed up in Acts chapter 2. Amen? They showed up at the house of a Jew. Let me ask you a question. The throne of David's going to be in Jerusalem for 1,000 years, right? Who's going to sit on it? Who? Jesus. He's going to sit on the throne of David in Jerusalem. Y'all believe in a millennium, right? I hope so. Hope you're not preterists. He's going to sit on a throne of a Jewish king, King David. What does that make the guy that's going to sit on the throne? Makes him a Jew, doesn't it? Going to be a Jewish kingdom, right? Well, do I love you? Well, if I love you, he loves you a whole lot more. Amen? He loves you a whole lot more. So we're all going to be having not a big fat Greek wedding, but we're all going to have a big fat Jewish wedding. At dancing in the New Jerusalem. We're going to be dancing. And who knows what God's got. The mind hasn't seen, the eye hasn't seen, nor has the mind conceived what God has prepared for us. Amen? But this is a rehearsal. This is the pattern where Jew and Gentile come into the house of a Jew on a feast of Moses and celebrate the feast of God the way they did in Acts 2. You're doing it just like they did. No, you, yes, amen. Give them glory. Doesn't matter if you're from Crete or if you're from Rome, if you're from Ireland. You're from, it's a, the fact is we're doing it according to the pattern. And that's when the glory fell. Every time when Solomon built the temple in 2 Chronicles 6 and 7, read it. Go home and read it about Solomon building the temple according to the pattern. The glory fell. When Moses built the tabernacle, go back and read that. He did it all according to the pattern God showed him on the mountain. When he finished it, the glory fell. When we get it right and Jew and Gentile come together as one, not one, but one, unity, not, you know, people have said to me as a young believer, they said to me, Joe, why don't you come to Lutheran? I had a Lutheran pastor. He said, I'll pay for you to go to a Lutheran cemetery. You'd make a great Lutheran preacher. Another guy wanted me to be he wanted to send me to some other, you know, Harvard Divinity School. Guy wanted to send me to Harvard Divinity School. I don't know what I'd have come out. I don't know what I'd have looked like if I came out of there. And, you know, everybody, another guy wanted me to be a Baptist. I'm a Jew. God called me to be a Messianic Jew. I can't be anything else. But there's a lot of phonies out there. There's a lot of people playing Jewish, and I want you to be aware of them. If there's a congregation that's doing Jewish stuff and they don't have a Jewish leader, they're missing the point. God loves them. God bless them. They're missing the point. The whole point is for the Gentile, for the Christian, for the Jew, for the Messianic Jew, for the Messianic non-Jew, everybody who's called by the name of God to come into the house of God, and if you can't go to Jerusalem, let me ask you a question. Are there going to be believers in the millennium? in Israel, or is Israel going to get saved? When Jesus comes back, it says, Zechariah 12:10, in that day they shall look upon me whom they've pierced as a father mourns for an only son. And I shall pour out a spirit of grace and supplication upon them. Amen. Are they going to be believers? So they're going to go looking for a Methodist church? They're going to be Messianic Jews, right? That's what I think. I'll put my money on it. The nation of Israel is going to be a Messianic nation, led by a Messianic Messiah. Amen? He's going to be a Messianic Messiah. The Messiah is Messianic. I'm a mess. And you're all going to come, but you know what? God loves you for who you are. You're just going to be doing it. He's not going to make you. See, the whole thing is, when you join Jesus Christ, you become adopted spiritually into the family. But that's not the end of it. God wants you to come join with the Jewish people. It says in Zechariah 8:23, in that day 10 men from every from the nations will take the hem of the garment, the fringe of a Jew, and say, take us with you, for God, for we have heard that God is with you. You're doing it right. Pat yourself on the back. Say, I'm doing it right. There may not be a whole lot of us here, but you're doing it right. This is the way God intended it. This is what He intended. Black and white, red, yellow, and green, Jew and Gentile, all coming into the house of a Jew on the days that God told us to. And not only that, dwelling together. And that's our intention. That's the intention of me and Pastor Bill and Pastor Coy, is for us to dwell together. Dwell together. Not for this congregation to become part of New Life, so to speak, and not for New Life to join this congregation, but for us to work together and be in unity with each other. To be in unity with each other and help each other. And you guys have more broader shoulders than we do, but we have things that we can give you. Yes. Amen? Yes. And today was one of them. Please stand up. I want to bless you. And for those doubters out there, and I have heard believers out there who doubt whether it was God's will for Jerusalem, just read Isaiah 2. Just read Zechariah 12. Just read Zechariah 8:3. Jerusalem will be the dwelling place of the Lord. And yes, it stirred up a hornet's nest this past week, moving the embassy to Jerusalem. And if that bothers you, a Christian person, or a person who, Messianic person, if you think it wasn't God's will, or Democrat, whatever, you think it wasn't God's will for Jerusalem to become, for the U.S. Embassy to move to Jerusalem, I got news for you. Being Jewish means you're going to pay a price. If you're a Christian who plays Jewish, and I heard somebody on Facebook who was talking about that Trump shouldn't have done it because it stirs things up. Well, I'm sorry, but if you're a Jew, you're going to stir things up. Yeah. If you're a Jew and you're doing your job, you're going to stir things up. Yeah. I haven't stirring it up for 22 years since I got saved. And God didn't call us to sit and have a cozy life. He said, in this life, you'll have tribulation. So if we're doing it right, we're going to stir things up. Amen? Now, we have a saying in Judaism about our feasts. They tried to kill us. We won. Let's eat. And this is, and the Lord said, this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechech Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panavelecha. Bichunecha, Yisa Adonai, Panavelecha, Vayasem lecha, Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace in the name of Yeshua, the Messiah and the Prince of Peace. Thank you for coming today. Chag Shavuot, Sameach, happy Pentecost, happy Shavuot. Praise God. May God give you whatever you need. Healing. May God give you abundance, blessing, whatever spiritual thing, gifts you need. And the greatest gift is love.
Yes. Amen.
And I need it more. And I ask the Lord, forgive me because I've blown it. And I need your forgiveness, God. Thank you. Amen. But I stand, his grace is sufficient for me. That's how I get up here every week. That's how all of us preachers get up here, because his grace is sufficient. Amen. Amen. So here's what we're going to do. Deborah and Vince are going to, they have a table back there. So do you need somebody to, you want to go back there to the table? And if anybody would like to get a CD of their music, their worship music, if you enjoyed it. And Vince is going to pack up. Maybe if one or two guys could come up and help Vince. They don't have a lot of stuff. But maybe just if he'll tell you what he needs done. And then we can help them get in the car so they can come eat with us. Okay? And if